eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
And welcome back to the Louisville.am studios, where my partner Steve Coombs and I are talking about restaurants and drinking.
Two of our favorite things.
Two of our favorite things. We call this podcast the... Let's throw out some adjectives here that, to describe how great this is.
It's tasty. It's savory. Sweet. Sometimes sour, depending on whether the news is bad. What else would you like me to say about it?
That's right. It's just the best and only and longest running 41 shows podcast about restaurants in the city of Louisville.
11 shows away from a year. That's amazing.
That's really good. Right. We'll have to maybe have a party. Somebody volunteer to have a party for us, please.
Well, perhaps we should just have it at Harvest, which has been a fantastic sponsor of ours for quite a while. So it's located in Nulu. If you've never been there, it's at 624 East Market. It's open for dinner Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m., I should say. Brunch Friday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And note on your calendar, February 26th, it is having another chef's table. This is a gathering of 12 people only. They get to eat in the kitchen and see the meal be prepared and have it explained course by Chef Patrick Roney. And trust me, it's a heck of an experience.
Better get on that early. Our other sponsor we're happy to welcome in is the Eye Care Institute. If you're curious about LASIK, Eye Care Institute offers the latest technology, and they are the first in Kentucky to offer a special topography-guided LASIK. So call them at 502-589-1500. You can talk to a friendly LASIK counselor right there on the phone and get set up.
Absolutely.
So we got a lot of news this week, Steve.
Yeah, we as we had mentioned midweek, Nick Sullivan, who is the last chef at the Oak Room, has gone over to Fork and Barrel to join Jeffrey Heide, who is a chef of, how do I want to say it? Obviously a lot of talent.
Right.
His last two restaurants were Set and Village Anchor, where he was with Kevin Grangier for almost 5 years. That's a lot of talent packed into one kitchen.
I know. That's going to be some good grub coming out of there. So I'm looking forward to going over there. When do you think they're going to open?
They keep saying late March, but my guess is it will be early April. It's always one permit away. Always yeah. One permit away.
Go.
So, you know, they'll get close and then they'll say, we got to get a liquor permit. We got to get whatever, you know. It just happens that way. But these guys are restaurant veterans. It should be really cool. And it's in the old Bossa space, which I'm sure listeners remember.
It's a great spot. You mentioned one permit away. I heard that same comment from somebody out in J-Town near where I live. We're watching this spot, this corner on the corner of Watterson Trail and Taylorsville Road, because it used to be an exhaust place,
right?
And it's set up perfect, and we have heard rumors through the grapevine. It's under contract. We've heard it's a restaurant concept that exists in Louisville, and they are supposedly been working on this for a while, one permit away from being able to start construction over there. So
it's just to start construction. Oh my,
yeah,
it's a long way to go.
Well, it's a big thing. It used to be an exhaust shop. It's got those garage doors. It's sort of I imagine is a garage bar-esque type place, but who knows?
Who knows? But that is the big thing, to have the retractable doors.
Yeah.
To let this warmth in. Heck, you could let it in today.
I know. Matter. Here we are, February, and we're talking about that in my short sleeves. All right, you got another scoop about Meta.
Right, so they are finally offering food after 3 years down there, and it's all small bites, things that Jeremy Johnson, the owner, wants to pair, I think in a week from now or so, with specific spirits. But he said people have asked for a long time. They want something to eat while they're drinking, and he knows that it will help them linger longer, buy more drinks, ultimately, if they have some small bites. And the guy is quite an accomplished cook. I didn't know that, and you can read that in the story that I wrote last week. But there you have it. You can eat now at Meta.
And that's amazing. They've been able to open and stay in business for 3 years without food. So
the drinks are great.
The drinks are great. Drinks are great. I want to know, Steve, where I can find a beer for a dollar and a half.
You can find that at Bristol. The Bristol Bar and Grill is celebrating 40 years. Can you believe it?
That's
40
a long,
years.
That's a
so
long
they opened
time.
In 1977. So they were really the first stake in the ground when it comes to the Bardstown Road Restaurant Row. And people would say, oh, Jack Frost was back there back then. No, it wasn't. It was a bad Mexican joint called Por Que No, which means why not? So that's Rick's bookie calling in. Who did you bet on the Super Bowl? It must not have been the Patriots.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the Patriots, so no, it wasn't them.
But anyway, so Doug Gossman, as you were talking about and looking at the script here, they are going to be doing 10-ounce drafts, $1.50, select drafts, obviously, 20-ounce drafts at $2.75, crafted and imported bottles, $1.75, and all domestic bottles, $1.25. That starts Friday and goes all the way through April 31.
Can you imagine in 77... $1.50 was probably a lot for a beer.
I'm sure you could probably get 77. Heck, I wouldn't know. I was in seventh grade.
Well, it was, I went to my first derby about that year. It was actually 78, and I wrote a poem about it, and it has a line about beer being a dollar at Churchill Downs, if you can imagine.
What's it now? It's like 11, isn't
it? Something ridiculous.
I think on Derby Day. Good gracious!
It's crazy, but. The news, I'm going to be writing about this later this week, but, Steve, the Up All Night place down on Barstown Road in the Highlands catering to...
Baxter. Yeah.
Baxter, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Drunk college kids. go get something to eat right there next to O'Shea's. Well, it closed the first of the year.
They just wanted to do kind of skulk off into that quiet night?
Well, there's a story behind it. I talked to Mike Spurlock today, who's the manager of Louie Louie's out in J-Town, and he explained to me that everything was going great there. He couldn't get help. He couldn't get enough staff that he could trust to man that place, and so he just shut it down.
Doesn't surprise me. So it was a literal shortage of employees or just people who were honorable?
Yeah, he mentioned the word trust, so I think that it may have had to do with you gotta have somebody you can trust, especially late night with money and food and all that. So
that stinks.
But the good news is Mike told me about. I'm going to write about this later this week. I hope that a new concept is going in there, same walk up food, but it won't be restricted to late night. And they're even talking about breakfast. So it'll be something going in there. He had a hope by St. Patrick's Day, if you can believe it.
Oh, man. St. Patrick's Day in that stretch is great.
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever got to do it was last year and just couldn't believe how much fun that was.
Yeah, the parade day is quite a spectacle.
Yeah, it's really absolutely. So what's this about Safi moving to Louisville, you're saying?
Well, I had a guest on Rusty Satellite Show last week, a guy named Patrick Whalen, and he's a salesman for them, and I'm going to talk to the owners this week, but they're not just moving their coffee operation down to this place in Shelby Park in Smoketown.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a tobacco candy company.
But
it's really big, and they're hoping to have like a brewery in there. They're hoping to have several restaurants, several concepts in there that will be retail.
So in Smoketown.
So,
good for them.
Yeah. It's going to be a big thing. There was a brief story on Insider Louisville about it last week, but the proprietors are Mike and Mike Safi and his wife, Medora. And I'm hoping to talk to them this week, get some details on that.
Nice. Look forward to that.
It's going to be a big change.
Hey, I talked to a lot of restaurateurs over the past couple of days who said that pre-Valentine's dinners were great. Anyway, so we have Valentine's Day falling on a Tuesday. Nobody wants to go out on a Tuesday night, right?
Right.
Much less on Valentine's. And they started running their specials on Saturday, and in some cases Friday. I believe Harvest did that. And they said it was great. Business has been great because people wanted to kind of beat the rush, I guess.
Took that advice from the story I put up on eDrinkTalk.net. And you can still take – this is Tuesday, so if you're listening to this on Tuesday, on Valentine's Day, you can still look at all those specials, and there's still a lot of great deals to be had.
I would be willing to bet there's a lot of seats out there, too, since people got it out of the way on the weekend.
Yeah, they spread it out. It's like a one-day holiday. They spread it out over 3 or 4 days. That's good for the restaurants, and that's good for people that don't like to wait in line.
And good for Hallmark, I'm sure, at some point.
There you go. So I think we're eating in.
Speaking of a lady we love, Ellen Gil McCarty. Chef Ellen Gill McCarty is your guest this week. Tell us about what you guys
chatted. I had her in the studio, and, you know, of course, she's great. Those of you who don't know the story, was diagnosed with ovarian cancer a couple of years ago, went through treatments, and while she was down and out, Apron came in and helped her out. Mm-hmm. And she's been involved in Science Hill and her family for 40 years.
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
That's a long stretch.
Her whole life, practically.
At one place. So I know a lot of people maybe don't get out to a place like Science Hill, or it seems like there's a handful of them around the state, and you know that better than me.
Yeah, it's out in Shelbyville.
Mm-hmm. And places like Old Talbot Tavern, I guess, and the one in Berea, and there's a handful of them. But this is
that's the Boone Tavern in Berea, isn't it?
Boone Tavern.
Yeah.
So anyway, Science Hill is they're still cranking out great Southern food, but they're having a German night, a special meal on February 23rd.
Das Mehl.
And I don't do the German very well, but she brought in, she also had Michael Beckman in with her here in the studio, and who is part of the marketing team and the hosting team that is putting this event on. They've got like room for 80, and they've sold about 25 tickets. So I would encourage you, if you're interested in this after you hear this great interview.
And this is an Apron fundraiser, right?
The money goes to Apron. Because
dig deep, brothers and sisters.
Ellen is, you know, of course, anxious to give back. She got so much help during her illness. And so it's a great story. It's a great story.
Good deal. Well, I'd be glad to hear her voice. Haven't seen you in a while, Miss Ellen.
All right. Well, Ellen and after the Ellen and Michael talk to me, Steve and I will be back with our favorites of the week and some other stuff. So stay tuned.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned, Pat 40.
But I'm with the new Chariot,
Crispin Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
All right, I'm in the studio today, the Louisville.am studios, with Ellen Gill McCarty and Michael Beckman. Welcome.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
All right, we're having a good time here. It's we're actually recording on Monday morning, but we're here. But you guys had such a big success last year with Das Mehl out at the Science Hill Inn.
Right.
Ellen, you're coming back and doing it again.
Yes, we are. We had so much fun last time and it had such a good turnout, we thought we can't leave our customers hanging.
Well, I know. I mean, it's almost a shame it's only once a year, but why would Science Hill Inn, which you know, I know is a traditional Kentucky Southern restaurant,
right?
Go all out on a German meal.
Well, German food is stick to your ribs kind of stuff, which is our kind of style of cooking. And my dear friends Caroline Knopp and Michael Beckman and I decided to kind of infuse some Kentucky into it and use some Hubbock recipes, and it just works.
Okay. Now, this is coming up February 23rd. That's a Thursday night. You can still get tickets, right?
Correct, yeah.
And what are those costs?
They're $70 per person. That includes everything except your gratuity. It's a five-course meal paired with beers, and it starts at 5:30 and goes to 8.
Okay. Sounds like a great event. Last year, you had the whole thing sold out, right?
Yes, yeah.
And there's tickets for like 80 this year?
Correct, right? And we've sold probably about 25, so
okay.
We've got some spots left.
Well, all right, well, there's still plenty of time. And the idea of the whole meal benefits Apron, I know. And
correct.
Ellen, I know you've benefited from Apron. Tell me a little bit about your story in terms of how Apron helped you.
Well, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer a little over two years ago, and you can imagine I was not able to work, and bills were piling up, and Apron stepped up and took care of some of my bills for me, which was a tremendous help. And so it's one near and dear to my heart, so I like to give back to them.
Well, it's a great story, and I guess your cancer story, you've been through the worst of it and overcome it?
Correct. I've been cancer-free for a little over a year now.
Congratulations.
And, knock on wood.
Yeah, we're all smiling
on
in here.
Yeah.
well, that's great. And it's great that you recognize that and give back. But this Science Hill Inn has been you've been there decades, right?
Yeah, my family's headed. This will be our 40th year this year. Wow. So yeah, it's I grew up in the business, and working in the family business, you can't get fired. So so I've been there quite some time, and my father recently passed away, but he retired about 2 years ago. Then my mom's kind of backed out, so okay. I'm the one holding the reins.
You're holding it up. Now, it's must be challenging, you know, with the changing economy, different taste of customers. How do you keep people coming back to the Science Hill?
You know, there's so many restaurants that aren't like ours. This house is an antique gallery, and it's just truly like walking back in time. And our menu is it's always been consistent, and there's so many other restaurants in Louisville, but there's nothing in the surrounding areas of Shelbyville or Frankfort. So I think that's why we've sustained so long.
Sure. Well, certainly I associate, you know, Science Hill with some of the traditional restaurants around the state.
Right.
Old Talbot Tavern.
Bowman Inn. Yeah,
and Bowman
like
Inn, places like that. And I guess there is enough of a demand for that type, because it's not like they're building new ones.
Correct, yeah.
But the tradition, I guess, is what attracts people.
Yeah, I mean, we get people that have been coming for years and years, and they bring their grandchildren, grow up, bring their grandchildren, so that's what's really cool about our place.
Okay. And you're open?
We're open every day but Monday.
Okay.
And then we have a buffet on Sundays. We only serve lunch, 11:30 till 2:30, and we do private parties and
okay. Okay. Like, well, tell me about planning this menu for this German event, Das Meal. What kind of thing are you trying to set up for people?
Well, just good comfort food. I'll give you the menu. We're going to start out in the courtyard with three different balls. With Geta balls, which is a old family recipe of the Hubbucks, and it's an oatmeal sausage,
okay.
A chicken cordon bleu ball, and a sauerkraut ball, all paired with Gordon Biersch beers. And then we're going to move on into the dining room and have homemade soft pretzels with pimento beer cheese.
Mm.
Third course, we're going to have a potato soup topped with Gatton Farm smoked sausage, which is a local farm here, or in Bremen, Kentucky, bacon, cheese, and chives. And then move on to the main course, which is Kentucky-grown pork schnitzel that's been soaked in beer with Gordon Biersch beer, of course.
Of course.
With spätzle, sweet and sour cabbage, and dilled baby carrots. And then finally, for dessert, we're going to have mini German pancakes with Jägermeister-infused apples topped with vanilla ice cream and caramel sauce.
Wow. I'm sure the label, you'll be handing out the label that shows how many calories are involved in this.
Nothing. Yeah, yeah, exactly. No calories in this meal at all.
Well, that's funny. Well, also in the studio, I have Michael Beckman, who is part of the planning process for this. And Michael, I understand that this is one of several sort of special meals that you're involved in planning with Caroline.
Well, it's so much fun getting together with the talent of Ellen. And Ellen's talent has kind of been hidden in Science Hill for so long because she does a lot of the same things over and over. Not that that's boring. It's just that she does it so well, she doesn't need to change. And I think that's an answer to all your restaurant question earlier, is Ellen doesn't have to bring anything new because what she does is so good. But we challenged her a couple years ago with this German thing, you know, Knopf and Beckman. I don't know how much more German you can get with that. And you throw the Hubucks in there, or Hubbucks, however you want to say it, and things get a little crazy. I mean, when Ellen decided to do that pork schnitzel and we talked about it, and we got the beer from Gordon Biersch, which is a Märzen, very much like an Oktoberfest, malty, sweet, very rich beer. She soaked that pork in there for 24 hours. And it came out as nice and soft and tasty as any pork schnitzel you'll ever eat in your entire life. You have to go to the motherland, the Deutsche Land, to get good stuff like that. So, you know, if you stretch Ellen's wings and you make her, you challenge her, she comes up with this stuff, and she's incredible. She does stuff that makes it simple, yet the flavors are as good as it gets. So this German meal just, and where else do we get German food in Kentucky and in Louisville? I mean, didn't what's his name just close? There's just so many, there's not any real German food. And we've got a great, there's Germantown in Louisville. There's a lot of Germans that came to Kentucky. You know, maybe the brewing history isn't as big as Cincinnati. But there's a great German contingency in this area, and they want the food. So we're going to bring it to them.
Okay, well, they're going to have an opportunity at this meal, and again, it's a once a year thing. So,
oh yeah,
and this is the second year. You know, last year, I'm sure you raised a lot of money for Apron.
Yes,
last
year, yeah, we sure did.
Had a lot of success. But Michael, just one question. You've done these other meals. Tell me a little bit about the others that you do.
Well, a couple years ago, we did a Peruvian dinner with Ellen because our friend Joe Self came in from Peru, and it just really set up nicely with different take on Kentucky and Peruvian. She got some people involved. It was, you know, this is once again, Rick, what I said. If you challenge Ellen to come up with something different, she seems like she can just pop out of this, you know, normalcy in a restaurant, routine in a restaurant is great. But if you challenge a chef and the chef has all this knowledge and she knows what to do, the food can come out remarkable. And it just challenges the taste buds. It challenges you to think differently about what you're going to eat, how you're going to cook. And that's what these meals do. I don't know what we're going to do for the rest of 17. The German meal is going to start it off. We might go Asian. We might go Mexican. I don't know. I mean, we got Jägermeister involved in this. We might go to some tequila and see if Ellen feels about that. I don't know, Rick. But it's exciting because, once again, you challenge Ellen. Her head just starts. She starts thinking. She starts, what am I going to do with this? I mean, as far as shrimp and grits, she makes maybe the best in the state. But if you asked her to do something different with that or challenge her with a different way to cook the shrimp or whatever, then that's when the juices start flowing, and that's what she's done with this German meal and any other thing that we've asked her to do.
Okay.
Sleepless nights, I might add.
I bet it's tough out there. But I want to ask you a little bit about Science Hill a little more because it's in Shelbyville. A lot of people prefer to go to a restaurant that is within a mile of their house.
Right.
How? I mean, are your customers out there primarily from Louisville, or
no.
Where do they come from?
I go to the local Kroger, and people see my chef coat, and they say, "Where do you work?" And I tell them, they say, "Where's that?" So it's kind of crazy. We get most of our clientele comes from Louisville, Frankfort, and Cincinnati, and Lexington. Okay. It's a destination kind of place, but it's really not because, I mean, it's just like going to downtown Louisville. Takes me, you know, 25 minutes to get there from my house. So
yeah, it all depends on your perspective about right. How far it is, I guess. And of course, out there, there's more activity out there with the
we've gotten so many
mall opened out there.
The
right?
mall, and then we've gotten a couple of bourbon distilleries that have opened up out there. So it's becoming quite big. So okay. I think it's going to really start to explode.
So maybe it's less, you know, hey, let's drive all the way out there, or more of, hey, while you're out here
right.
doing something else, stop at Science Hill.
Stop and see us, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, that's good. Well, now your regular menu, Michael mentioned the shrimp and grits. What do people come for out there?
Our fried chicken, shrimp and grits. We're known for our hot brown. And then we also have stuff for vegetarians, like an eggplant sandwich, different salads, and our soups, but our fried chicken, hot brown, and shrimp and grits, they're are pretty much the most popular.
Wow.
And we have a great Sunday buffet, which it has everything on there.
You're making me hungry, and it's Monday, and you're closed, darn it. but anyway, for anybody listening to this other than Monday, you can go out to Science Hill and have a meal. And once again, let's go over once again. Das Meal is on February 23rd. It's a Thursday.
Thursday the 23rd. Yes, okay. Sir.
And what else is going to be out there, Michael?
At 5:30, we start with the Das Balls and Das Beer. Beer is going to be by Gordon Biersch. We've got three or four different beers, the three different balls. The balls are going to be fantastic. Then we move into the dining room with homemade pretzels and the
and there's some entertainment.
The thing is we're trying to get an accordion player, young Bridget Kalen.
I know.
You know, she started her days at Bear Nose many, many, many years ago when I saw this crazy chick and she needed a place to play, and yeah. We brought her on. So we get her out there, and, you know, Rick, I might even be in lederhosen, and I don't know. So, and I know some of the chicks might dig
that.
Well,
that'll be fun. I'm really looking forward to seeing the whole thing. And it's going to be a blast. So, Eat, Drink, Talk listeners, you know, it's easy to sign up for this thing. It's a great bargain at $70 a person. The phone number is?
502-633-2825.
All right. That's the Science Hill Inn in Shelbyville. And thanks to Ellen and Michael for coming to the studio.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers.
Yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
And we're back from the break listening to Ellen and Michael Beckman, always the beer guy.
He is a
master of pairing.
He's into beer and golf. Those are his things. And so,
and the two go together really well.
They do.
Which, you know, I could blame that for my routinely bad scores, but I don't really have that much on the course anyway. So,
all right. Well, this is our segment of favorites for the week. And why don't you lead off, Steve?
So I've been back to Goss Avenue Pub in Germantown just to kind of revisit. And that concept hits it. I think they've done really well to slam on the brakes 5 months into it and overhaul. I think they've got it. And the night that I was there, I had a fried chicken thigh and biscuit sandwich that was delish. My wife and I shared the not dog, which is a carrot, you know, replacement of a hot dog. Trust me, it's really, really good.
It doesn't sound good, but I believe you.
It is delicious. You know, Howard Richardson is the consultant chef there, who's wound up being the head chef right now because Chef Tim Smith, his wife just had their first child, so he's out for a while, you know, being new daddy. But yeah, go there, check it out, people, because especially if you've been there prior to its closing, you'll really notice the whole change in vibe. I think they've really hit well for the neighborhood there.
Well, good. That sounds it's great to see a success over there. You know, one of my favorite things about doing this show is getting invited to special events like the one they had at Cellar Door Chocolates last Thursday night. Because our favorite, Erica Chavez Graziano, you know, is she's a great entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. She's all about business. She just says, I happen to make good chocolate, but I am a businesswoman.
She really is. So her business decision was to partner up with one of the city's best known artists, Janine Barnhart, and her twin sister, Doreen, and they came out with a new candy bar. And it's called the Barnhart Bar, and it was really, I think they were sort of overwhelmed by the crowd that showed up at this thing.
Oh, that's cool.
There was a lot of folks, and they were buying these bars by the handful, and it's a $12 candy bar.
Holy cow.
So
nobody ever did that when we were selling candy bars as kids for charity or whatever.
No, the deal. Dollar and a half. Please, please, please buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
But the special thing about the candy bar, Steve, is that they're intimate sketches that Janine put together for this project. They're commissioned for this project, and rather than ripping open the candy bar like you and I do when we actually get one,
or starving, exactly,
you're supposed to slowly and remove it, and the art is suitable for framing. So you know, you're getting a $12 candy bar, but you get the candy and you get a piece of art as well. So.
Nice.
That's the concept down there, and you can get those at Cellar Door down there on 4th Street or out at Oxmoor Mall or down in Butchertown where they make it.
At the, Butchertown?
Market.
Market.
Our good friend Andy Bleeden runs
that's such a beautiful store. Yeah, so you got to drink a little Four Roses bourbon along with that good chocolate, right?
Yeah, you know, it's always great when you show up and they say, you know, which of these Four Roses bourbons would you like to try?
All of them.
That's it, all of them.
We've seen you at this booth before, Mr. Coombs. Yeah, coming right back to give me all
back
of them.
Again. I had the single barrel. I'm not the bourbon connoisseur you are, but it was darn good.
Yeah, that's my favorite of the three.
Yeah,
for sure, of their standard line. Yeah, so I got.
I like the name of your cocktail here, Steve.
Yeah, the Suffering Bastard cocktail. It's I did a little research on it, and it's not something that was a creation of Copper and Kings where I had it, but it's apparently a legendary cocktail that's a bit of a knockoff on a Moscow Mule, insofar as that it has a combination of gin, brandy, and ginger beer, but this has bitters added. There was some lime added. It was great. So I was down to the distillery to see Robert Simonson, the author of A Proper Drink, which is a new book put out. And we were sipping Suffering Bastards and not suffering one bit. It was great.
Well, that's great. I just really discovered the whole Mule line of drinking in the last 6 months. And, you know, I'm getting one everywhere I go.
They're very refreshing.
Yeah.
It's the second most popular cocktail in America. I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Second to the old fashioned.
Man, you learned some great stuff on this show.
Absolutely. And this show would not be possible were it not for great sponsors like Harvest. Do not miss their three-course Thursdays that are still running. Like last week, Rick, on their menu was, for first course, choice of White Creek Trout Deviled Eggs or Cooper's Bok Choy Hot Pot. Second course, Herb-Grilled Silver Carp or Beef Bourguignon, which is Julia Child's recipe, they said. And the third for dessert, obviously, classic chocolate cake or strawberry yogurt parfait. Mm. Awesome, man. $30. Mm. $30.
Boy, if anybody listening to this doesn't get hungry listening to this show, I'm going to tell you.
So get hungry while you're calling 384-99 for reservations or make your own online at harvestlouisville.com.
All right, and let's also mention our sponsor, Eye Care Institute, down in Butchertown. The phone number is 502-589-1500. I talked earlier about LASIK being a big specialty of theirs there, but if you just have routine work you need to do, you need an exam, you need new contacts, you need new glasses, you want to see better, this is the place to go.
502-589-1500. Awesome. So, my guest this week is Ian Hall. He is the co-owner, along with his wife Nikki, of The Exchange and Brooklyn and Butcher, Brooklyn and the Butcher in New Albany. Part of that restaurant renaissance. He is definitely on the cutting edge of that. He had read my post about Edward Lee being the first local chef to take a spot at 4th Street Live, and he had a lot of insight because he, too, was approached by Cordish companies. And it might sound like inside baseball, might sound too businesslike, but I think you'd be very interested in hearing what he has to say about why they didn't take the spot. And it wasn't the size of it. It was just the way the leases are arranged, and it was a big gamble. He was there when some other famous restaurateurs who had to go unnamed, unfortunately, were courted for the same spot. So tune in. And he also talks about the difference between The Exchange and Brooklyn the Butcher and why, you know, one works and one works this way, one works the other. It just kind of gives a lot of insight into his business. And he's a charming young man, to well, say the least. Go. So anyways, probably why his restaurants work so well is that he's certainly the face of them. So listen up and listen to Ian and hear an expert restaurateur weigh in.
Dessert? Yes, please.
With Ian Hall in the basement of his restaurant, Brooklyn and the Butcher in downtown New Albany. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, Steve.
You know, it's amazing how many times you get to do these interviews, and often like this one, we're going to get to do it twice.
Right. I made a lot of mistakes in the first segment, so Steve was so gracious that we actually do it again. So
sometimes these recorders are fickle, sometimes it's operator error, but we want to talk to the operator of this restaurant. About a week or so ago, Edward Lee had announced that he was going to put a restaurant called Whiskey Dry, I believe, in 4th Street Live, and Ian had sent me a private message talking about how difficult it is to operate down there, why there aren't many local operators down there, and why Ed Lee's going to be the right guy for a lot of reasons. But one of the things that we talked about, or we discussed in our private messages, was just the cost of trying to be down there, and that being the reason why there's so many chains down there. They can afford to be in that high-end real estate. Talk about how inexpensive it is over here first in New Albany and just how dramatically different it is downtown.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first thing, there's nothing inexpensive about this business, whether you're in New Albany or Nashville or downtown Louisville. I think you know, the opportunity to work with some really great developers on a local level in New Albany has really kind of spurred a lot of the growth.
And it would be Steve Varesh and Matt Chalfant for you, right?
Yeah, actually, we work with Steve on the Exchange and Matt Chalfant on Brooklyn the Butcher here. So both guys, you know, night and day difference in personalities and, you know, design elements and things, but both at the end of the day, we're, you know, we wouldn't be here doing what we're doing without those guys making the investment in us, so.
But you were approached nonetheless by a high-profile, you know, outfit with the Cordish Companies, and they wanted to bring perhaps the Exchange concept down to 4th Street Live, and that's like being asked out by a great-looking lady.
Yeah,
right?
It was pretty sexy to get courted by, you know, a very, you know, large based company out of Baltimore that's, you know, well-known as 4th Street Live is. You know, the direction that they were trying to take was to incorporate more of a local restaurateur chef mm-hmm. into some new operations. And, you know, I think this industry is, there's, you know, that 10-year kind of life cycle of transition. And I think you're starting to see that come around, especially in that area down there.
10 years meaning what? That most restaurants turn over at that time?
Yeah, or? I think so. I mean, I think just the time to kind of freshen up and maybe, you know, get a different vision moving forward. So as much as we'd all like to be restaurants like Jack Fry's, you uh-huh. know, that have been around for such a long time, industry standards typically aren't that way. And that's what we strive to. But I think, you know, to keep, especially from a tourism standpoint, to keep it new and fresh, you almost have to kind of reinvent yourself.
And they really wanted, when I talked to the Cordish Companies, about the time you were too, they were saying we really want a steadier stream of traffic down there. And key to doing that is getting locals like your concept. And they were kind of confused as to why sometimes they couldn't get people down there. Part of it was, I think we all agreed, that nobody locally wanted to join down there because some might think you're joining the chains.
Right.
You're going to be in with the bad guys, so to speak. But the real reason is the money. And it was expensive. So talk about, you don't have to speak dollars and cents, but that's a tough nut to crack to go right into a spot like that.
Well, I think probably when they first came to town, there may have, you know, maybe not on our end, but some other operators, maybe some animosity that they were overlooked. You know, some great local businesses that have been around
Absolutely.
Here for years.
Yeah.
You know, and they chose to kind of take it a different direction. So, you know, 4th Street definitely did take some of that piece of the pie away from some operators that have, you know, were really doing some great things and worked really hard to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know,
Mike Wycliffe being one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he had, I mean, you know, O'Shea's guys, you have Mike. I mean, guys that have really become staples, you know, in the Louisville bar and restaurant scene. And for whatever reason, that was in a direction, you know, that they wanted to take. And now it's kind of ironic to see them backpedaling a little bit and doing, you know, what a lot of us started doing, you know, 10 years ago. And that was really trying to drive this independent side of restaurants. But I'm glad to see the change that's coming. It's not anything that's going to obviously happen overnight. We looked at that space. We were introduced to it probably two and a half years ago.
Which was the pub,
We actually looked at the pub space that had been vacant for quite some time, as well as the Rira space, which now, the name of the Italian restaurant, so I haven't had a chance to go down.
Yeah, Beer Chivo?
Yeah,
Did it go
Chivo.
In there? That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So, which again, you have another great local operator. You know,
Junior Brewsman.
Yeah, overseeing that project.
Right.
So we looked at both spaces. The larger of the two is about 9,000 square feet. For us, our footprints are anywhere between 4,000 and 6,000 square feet. So it was a little daunting, the size of the space, mm-hmm. as well as the cost, you know, that comes along with that, not only from your leasehold improvements, but from a utility standpoint. So the pub space was really the one that we kind of honed in on a little bit more and started to work through some initial ideas and plans and pricing
right.
on what it would look like if, you know, we were to bring something like the Exchange, you know.
So it would require a lot of money up front. Even though they offered some generous terms for build out and making the restaurant look like you
right.
want it. But then on the backside, that lease was configured to the price would increase as much as your sales increased, right?
Yeah, there was definitely a couple of different scenarios that they had proposed to us. I mean, at the end of the day, the dollars and cents are probably very similar. It's just, do you want to put more money on the front end or do you want to get more taken from you on the back end? as a developer or as a restaurateur, you know, I don't know anyone who would open a restaurant and not hope to be busy, not
right.
to be increased, you know, want to be busier year after year, month after month. And the way that one of the deals that we had been looking at structure-wise, it was definitely built in with us less on the front end. And then as we drive more sales, our leasehold improvements would, you know, our allowance was X, and then we would pay, you know, Y and Z, and then the more volume that we did, essentially, the more that you would give up in, you know, in monthly lease.
So you went home to your wife, Nikki, and you said, I want to do this. I really think we should do it. And part of that was based on when your meeting with Cordish ended, you walked out and you saw a high-profile chef from Louisville waiting to go in and talk to those guys. And part of that was being flattered to be in that same company. Is that right?
It was. I mean, I think, you know, for us, we're a very still a young restaurant. I mean, I say we're a restaurant group, but it's myself and my wife, and we have a great local bank. And, you know, I don't have investors on our projects. We work with great developers that allow us to do some things that maybe we traditionally, you know, wouldn't be able to do. So it was, like I said, I think you referenced it in the first interview, to dating that, you know, that sexy single. You know, there was a lot of attractiveness to you look at these restaurateurs and chefs, and you aspire to kind of follow their model that they've set and become successful in our community. You know, when I look at, you know, what restaurants we want to be like, I typically don't look at places in Chicago and Nashville because I want to be able to relate. I want to know what a guy like, you know, Fernando, how he runs his business or the types of employees that he develops.
Right.
You know, chefs, I mean, Dean Corbett, and, you know, there's so many great already models to me that you can kind of look at in our city and in Southern Indiana here now, to kind of model our own business after. And I think that's all it is. You're not reinventing the wheel of, you know, serving food and drink. You're just fine tuning it every day. So
Ed Lee, you think it's going to be a good fit?
I think he's one of the best fits they probably could have landed. I know they're I'm assuming there may be some connection between the Baltimore, you know, with Succotash being in Baltimore, Maryland, and Cordish being based out of Baltimore.
Right, and there's another restaurant opening in D.C. for him.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I think there's more things that involved. And I do remember, and I kind of forgot about this, but when we were actually looking at the ReRoute space, they were talking about a wine concept where, and Ed's name was actually one that came up in conversation about the type of cuisine that they were going to kind of look. I think they already had one concept in another city that was cooking something.
Right.
And I think they were looking at introducing something similar. Again, not, you know, not reinventing the wheel, just trying to find some different players in it. And I think they had a model of what they wanted. And I know he was definitely one of those names that came up. But
well, and he's got that national profile. He's got cookbooks. He's got TV gigs. I mean, and I would imagine this will be. Well, I shouldn't say I imagine, but I don't think this will be the biggest of his restaurants either. So he's got the big restaurant stuff under his belt now with two Succotashes. So.
Right. Yeah, that space, I think Ed said he's going to get 70 seats or so. I think when we looked at it, that, you know, with
nice and tight.
Yeah, little indoor-outdoor patio. The good thing at that space was the kitchen was just, it was huge. It was intact, and, you know, you would need to bring in some fresh equipment because, you know, the pub beat it up pretty well. But, you know, mostly it was a lot of cosmetic changes, you know, in the front of the house. So
speaking of restaurants that have had some life, the Exchange is coming up on its sixth year.
Yeah, you say? Actually celebrated it last month, so it's our fourth year in downtown, our sixth year in overall business.
And is that casual model still working real well for you guys?
It's great. I mean, it's funny. It's made me appreciate that restaurant even more by opening this restaurant. Because as much as I love Brooklyn the Butcher, like, Exchange is the baby. And on the weekends, I find myself bouncing back and forth between the two restaurants, and, you know, they're both equally important. I find myself gravitating towards that restaurant, I don't know, just a little bit more. It's just there's something special about it. Yeah, I think it's because it was our first.
Yeah.
You know, and it was put together in a really, you know, tight time for us where, you know, it wasn't this master plan of opening this great restaurant. It was really kind of re-envisioning a plan that didn't work for us the first go around, and we had a couple of years left on a lease, and we decided, hey, let's try to play restaurant instead of trying to play nightclub.
Yeah, and you've added to it. You did the outside, you know, the outdoor patio, it's not screen, but you have like the louvered doors that come down around it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've done a lot with that concept.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, we love downtown New Albany. I grew up here, so to see it kind of, you know, get its second wind is pretty awesome to be part of it. So I never envisioned that, you know, I would expect people to say, you know, thanks for dinner, but I never imagined people saying thank you for helping to renovate downtown. And that's pretty, you know, that doesn't show up in the P&L, you know, it doesn't show up in the checking account, but that's, I mean, New Albany has something that a place like 4th Street will never have, and that's just the overall support of the community. I think, you know, people now are they're spending their money wisely in terms of, you know, entertainment dollars. And I think when it makes sense for you to support local, 75% of people, I would say, are now starting to gravitate that way.
And there's more coming. There's 6 restaurants planned for downtown.
Yeah, there's a ton of growth. Yeah. We have a new bakery just opened, and Eric Morris is going to be doing a new seafood restaurant.
Right.
I've heard there's, I guess, a kind of quick service delivery pizza concept that's coming. Ton of living is opening up downtown.
You said a 200 apartment complex?
Yeah, there's a development on Spring Street about a block and a half away here from Brooklyn and the Butcher. 200 apartments, companies based out of Indianapolis.
So a lot of new foot traffic, I would imagine.
Yeah, and that's kind of the one thing that New Albany's been missing. It's, you know, the driving force downtown was the YMCA coming as an anchor, and then the restaurants started to pop up around. You saw some turnover early on. I think maybe some people got in, you know, maybe a little over their heads, or, you know, saw something maybe a little sooner than it actually happened. You know, there were some great places that didn't make the cut after the first couple of years, but, you know, now there's a synergy to downtown that, you know, I think it's making our decisions to do other projects down here a little bit easier when you see these developers coming in. Matt Chalfant, Steve Resch both have invested a tremendous amount of time and energy and dollars
and money
into downtown.
And if you come on the Sherman Minton Bridge, you don't have to invest any money.
Yeah, that's what I don't go across the bridge anymore. I think it seems like there's so much to do in Southern Indiana now. It's, you know,
so no tolls to come to the Exchange. Yeah.
And it's like Brooklyn and the Butcher. Like 6 minutes from downtown. I mean, I used to work at Proof, and I think from downtown here, it's like a 6 minute to doorstep.
I know, we're lazy by that river, aren't we? It's you would think that's the river.
It's getting better. So
excellent, Ian Hall. Thanks for taking time to be on the show twice in one afternoon.
That's good. Appreciate it, Steve. Thank you.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.